My dear ladies, for this final conference for our retreat, how perfect is it that we end retreat on a feast day of our Blessed Mother? And what a feast day of our Blessed Mother. The Assumption, as we mentioned in the sermon this morning, it is the greatest feast of our Blessed Mother. And there are a few thoughts that come to me surrounding this feast that are really perfect for retreat and especially for the conclusion of retreat. I was thinking about that in the sermon this morning. The event of our Lord's ascension into heaven. How, of course, our Blessed Mother was there. The apostles were there. They witnessed this incredible event of our Lord rising miraculously. And they stood there and they gazed. They were struck with awe and they didn't know what to do with themselves, the apostles at least. And there were two men there in white, presumably angels, who then said, "Why do you stand here looking up to heaven?" As if to say, go get busy. You have witnessed something beautiful, but now there's work to do. And that, hopefully, is our attitude at the conclusion of retreat. We have had this beautiful time to spend with our Lord, to gather as many graces as we can possibly gather. But now hopefully we're chomping at the bit. So full of enthusiasm to go and use these graces in our everyday life. Hopefully we have a game plan. Something that we have written down even. A way to make sure we don't leave empty-handed. But back to our Blessed Mother. After our Lord's ascension, different authors say different things, but tradition tells us that our Blessed Mother lived for quite a few years. We don't know exactly how many. Scripture never says. But Our Lady remained. And what was her life like? We know, of course, our Blessed Mother is the greatest contemplative to have ever lived. She was able to have this perfect union with her son in prayer. But it didn't just stop there. Our Blessed Mother would have been on fire to get to work because she would have realized that she was still here on earth for a very specific reason. There is a book, I've mentioned this in sermons before, I believe, but this is just a little tidbit of information. There's a book called Lucius Flavus, and it's really a magnificent book. It's a fictional novel written by a priest in the 1800s, and it's about this Roman centurion who ends up finding the faith. But this priest uses as the basis for his novel the writings of Josephus, the historian. And Josephus recorded the destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in the year 76. And what was interesting about this novel, there's all of this build up, and it's a very compelling story, lots of intrigue, lots of action. But the highlight of the book, absolutely the climax of the book, is this very subdued chapter. There's all of this lead up. There's this centurion who's trying to come to the faith, being from pagan Rome. He happens to meet this young Jewish maiden who is also making her discoveries, coming to the faith. And they fall in love, and that's really what the story is about. But there's all of this lead up, all of this quiet talk. And it leads to this one chapter where they meet his mother. And I believe that's the term that the priest author uses. They're talking about our Lord, of course, throughout this book as though it were contemporary history, because it was. But they finally get to meet his mother. Beautifully written, and it's one of those things that can help furnish the mind with little details, little morsels for our imagination to help us to better picture what was the life of our Blessed Mother like. She was taking care of the baby church. That's why she had to remain, and she was so full of zeal and energy to do just that. And so this is the same zeal and energy that I hope that we can take now with us into our homes. Follow our Blessed Mother in that idea that, yes, we've witnessed beautiful things. We're on this long and tedious journey, but we are going to work because that is what God wants us to do. One, I wanted to bring back as a topic, or just a little more so, the book, The Anchor Hold, that I mentioned at one of the other conferences. And this is just to help our human nature a little bit. We have this fire and this energy, and we're ready to go and slay dragons. But lo and behold, we get home and, oh dear, it's the same old routine. Why didn't anything change? I thought there were going to be dragons. So we have to be realistic about it. But there was, in a very spiritual way, the author Ina Dennis talked about this in her book. So it was, if you remember the story at all, the heroine of the story, her name was Editha de Beauville. But she left all of this, as we mentioned, became Sister Catherine. But one of the things I didn't mention that she gave up was her dearly beloved, her beau, Sir Aelric. I don't remember actually from the story if they were no, in fact, they were not sure of their intentions for one another, but it was a perfect match nonetheless. He was the knight in shining armor, and she was the beautiful maiden, etc. And he loved her very much. So you can imagine when she left to become an anchorite, the absolute tragedy for Sir Aelric. So he went off to fight in the crusade. I believe several years went by, and he never quite recovered from the Lady Editha. And he thought to himself he would go and see her in her anchor hold. And their interaction, he did go and see her. She was very aloof, even maybe cold. And it was rather a disappointing interview. Well, on his way out, Sir Aelric met someone in the story who happened to have knowledge of what was going on. And he was lamenting. It's like, I've been to fight in the Crusades to give my life for Holy Mother Church, for God's greater glory, and here she shuts herself up in a cell and hides. But the knowing friend had to correct him. He said something to the effect of, you think that she goes and hides? No, in fact, Sister Catherine has taken upon herself to fight a foe that is far more formidable than any Turk or any enemy that you might meet in the Holy Crusade. She has gone against the Lady Editha de Beauville, and at much closer contact than any soldier in battle. That's a pretty astute observation. That we might have that fire, we may have all the zeal in the world, and we might want to go out and fight dragons and save souls and all of these wonderful ambitions. But it remains the first enemy to take care of, me. So, hopefully we have a balanced idea of what we are going to do. That this is the adventure of our life. There is nothing better that we can possibly do. And we have to combine this idea of, yes, perfecting self. That's first and foremost. But it's amazing how closely that goes together with what Reverend Mother was talking about. Going out and making a difference, not just standing by. We have to be active. We have to take an active care. And of course, those that are closest to us, our loved ones, but in the life of our Holy Mother, the Church, and the world itself, again, our Blessed Mother, was not just concerned. How easy would it have been if she were selfish in any way? Which, of course, she was not. She could have easily been overcome with sorrow, felt so terribly sad about the separation of her son and wanted nothing more than to just sit in solitude and think of God. And what a worthy occupation that would have been. But this was not our Blessed Mother. There is this song I remember growing up. It's a lullaby. It's from some Irish music CD. I don't remember the name or anything. But I remember one little phrase of the song. And in fact, I think elsewhere in the song it talks about our Blessed Mother, but this one little phrase of the song goes, "A little rest, and then the world is full of work to do." And it repeats this refrain a couple of times, "A little rest, and then the world is full of work to do." Hopefully that's something that we have been able to achieve here in some degree, to get a little bit of rest, some time away from the humdrum of the daily routine, from the most especially from the distractions of the world, almost literally from the noise. Rest, maybe a little bit for our bodies, especially rest and repose for our souls. But now, the world is full of work to do. My dear ladies, I have been just really overwhelmed, I have to say, with the fervor that I see. It's one of these, it's a give and a take. There's always a give and a take with everything. There are many difficult things about being a priest or religious. There are many difficult things about being a human being, of course, but the give and the take, you get to see many of the sorrows of human existence, hear many confessions, see many different problems. But the other side of that is so far superior, it cannot even be described. And that is the immeasurable good. We have this incredible grace to see God working in souls. That's something I definitely certainly don't take for granted. It's something I am sure will always be something to sustain myself and my vocation, but also something that should be a point for meditation for all of us. No matter the struggles, no matter the evil we see in the world, there is also so much good. Good in other people. Good in the spiritual realm, if we only have the eyes to see. The holy angels swarming around us at all times. Holy Mary, watching and protecting us. helping us each and every step that we take. So let us again thank our Blessed Mother. Let us rejoice with her on this beautiful feast of her Assumption into heaven. Let us keep our eyes trained on her. Let us keep our eyes focused on heaven. See the good in the world. And let's get to work making everything else that we see good.